Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The inspired Apostle Paul wrote to his brethren in Ephesus, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now this is one of nearly 500 biblical references to anger and being angry and wrath. Students of human behavior recognize anger as one of the most powerful emotions in the disposition of mankind. We all probably have experienced it. Therefore, it's not surprising that the Bible would have a good bit to say about it. What is anger? Well, there are various definitions. It's a synonym for rage, fury, indignation, wrath. It's an emotional excitement induced by intense displeasure. And the intensity of anger is usually proportionate to the intensity of the displeasure. It is an unpleasant emotion. But anger can be moderated, and it can be tempered by varying degrees of self-control and self-discipline. Anger is commonplace among people, and it manifests itself in a variety of ways. Now, sometimes people have the idea that becoming angry is itself a sinful thing, and they equate anger with a lack of control. They parallel anger with the loss of temper. Well, this is a mistaken notion. Now, sometimes, to be sure, anger and the lack of self-control go together, but not necessarily so. But if it's true that being angry is sinful, then we have a real problem concerning Christ, because Christ became angry, but the Bible says he never sinned. And how can we understand the anger of the Lord and the anger of his apostles and of others? Christ, when angered, did not sin. Numerous times the apostles manifested anger in response to various provocations, yet they did not sin. Now our text teaches that one can be angry and sin not. But anger can be wrong, and it often is allowed to become sinful. Anger certainly provides the opportunity for sinful behavior. Anger is wrong when it is without provocation, when it's not for a justified reason. And it's wrong to become angry over matters that simply do not warrant anger. Many temptations to sin confront us when we're angry that will not confront us under other conditions. But the Bible makes it clear there is a difference between anger and sin, just as there's a difference between all unpleasant circumstances and sin. Now in the Bible, and the Bible student is aware of this, we read of the anger and the wrath of God and of Christ and the apostles. But when were they angry? What made them angry? Why were they angry? And how did they behave when they were angry? Well, we learn these things. We will learn what is acceptable anger in contrast with what is sinful anger. Studying the scriptures that speak of the anger of God, we see his anger can be properly defined as righteous indignation. His anger is because of his righteousness, his holiness, his perfectness, his standard of righteousness, and therefore he is angry at certain things. Now Nehemiah 9 verse 17 tells us, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful," notice, "slow to anger, and great of kindness." God is not quick to be angry. He's not hasty to manifest or execute his wrath. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger." But in verse 6 of that same chapter we read, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." Yes, friend, the scriptures also speak of his anger and his wrath being hot, being fiery, being rendered with fury, being kindled, a smoking anger. God is a God of wrath and a God of anger. Oh, yes, he's a God of kindness and of love and grace and compassion. But God is also a God that can be angry. Well, what is it that makes God angry? Surely we ought to be angry at that which makes God angry. In Exodus, the 22nd chapter, the Lord said to the people, "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry out at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the people were worshiping the idol of the golden calf, we read, God said, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." The Lord was so angry at Israel, the very nation that he had chosen as the descendants of Abraham. He was so angry at them, at their idolatry, that he was willing to wipe them out and start all over again with Moses. Furthermore, grumbling and complaining provoked God's anger. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 10, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, and every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. So there are various reasons as to why God is angry. Is that not true? In Ezra chapter 8, it shows that God was angry against those that forsake him. His power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him, the scripture says. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, "Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Now, God was angry at those who were angry against his people. He's angry at the heathen. He's angry at the atheist. He's angry at those who are angry against those who belong to him. He is angry at those who go their own way, Psalms 106. And the hypocrite is certainly the object of the anger of God. Yes, God is angry at times. Men provoke God to anger. And when God is angry, it is a righteous anger. It is a righteous indignation. Now in John chapter 3 in verse 36, we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life." But now notice, "But the wrath of God abideth on him." My dear friend, let us learn that God is angry toward those who are disobedient to him. Colossians 3, 5 and 6. His anger against Moses was when Moses offered excuses for not doing what God told him to do in Exodus chapter 4. In Numbers chapter 22, it teaches that God is angry toward those who, like Balaam, are willing to compromise with evil and lead people to do evil. In Joshua 7 and verse 1, God was angry at Israel because there was sin in the camp, and he was angry until that sin was corrected. Jesus looked with anger upon those whose hearts were hardened against the truth, Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. We read if twice he cleansed the temple, did he not? And he demonstrated a physical expression of anger at those times toward those who desecrated the Father's house. The cruel and rebellious evildoers of the object of divine wrath, because they do what they want to do rather than what God teaches them to do. God does not lose his temper, however. He doesn't lose his self-control. He's in full possession of himself. But what he does and what he sees, when it's a violation of his will, Almighty God is angered. Are we angry like him? Seeing how God is angered at certain things, and since we are his children, will not these things also provoke anger within us? Is God pleased if we look with indifference at that which angers him? Children of God do not take lightly and passively things which provoke God's wrath. One British writer said of himself and of his work, and I quote, "The tribute I am most eager to deserve is one that would say, I am among those who will not take evil good-naturedly." Well, friend, we should not take evil good-naturedly. A hindrance of the truth comes from the alleged friends of God who take evil good-naturedly. God does not do that, and the ability to become indignant at sin is Christ-like. You see, being angry is not necessarily sin in itself, but a misdirected anger is. When we lose control, when we're angry with an evil motive, when we're angry when there's no justification for being angry, when we use profanity, when we seek vengeance, when we say and do those things that ought to be avoided, the Bible speaks of sinful anger, but it never accomplishes any good. It only is harmful. Cain was angry at his brother Abel, and he killed him. Jonah was angry because God didn't destroy Nineveh, but God repented and changed his mind when the people of Nineveh repented and changed their mind. In Luke chapter 15, we read of the prodigal son coming home, but we read of the elder brother's anger, an anger that was born of jealousy. Indeed, Jesus teaches us, if we're going to be angry, let's be angry at things that are right to be angry, and be angry in the right sort of disposition. Yes, we read in Exodus chapter 32, Moses' anger waxed hot. Moses was reckless in throwing down the tablets of stone upon which God had engraved the Ten Commandments. In John chapter 7, there was anger toward Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. Anger was demonstrated against the apostles, and they were stoned and imprisoned and beheaded and other persecutions. Now that's sinful anger. As we read here then in Ephesians chapter 4, it requires that we learn what deserves anger and what does not. We must learn to exercise anger with self-control and with temperance. We must learn to be angry at those things of which God is angry. Satan can use your anger to promote that which is wrong, but God can use your anger to uphold that which is right. Let us work in developing the ability, if we're going to be angry, to use that anger for righteousness' sake, and certainly avoid sinning that so often can and does accompany anger when it gets out of control. Yes, the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye angry and sin not." Admittedly, this is a difficult thing to do. But if we will exercise the right restrictions that God has taught us to have, we can be angry at things that deserve anger, and we can do it in a righteous way. We appreciate your listening to the program. Please weigh these things in your life, and remember to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.